Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning. We are continuing with the series of Colossians. I want to remind you that the theme of this epistle, Colossians, Christ is supreme over all things. Therefore, He is sufficient for all things. We just finished Paul's prayer and thanksgiving for this church. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Paul, he gave thanks to God for what he has done in this church. We can see very clearly that for their life, for their faith in Jesus Christ. Then he prayed for them. Not only he is giving thanks to them, thanks to God for what he has done in this church, at the same time, he prayed for them, for their spiritual life, for their growth. Now he is going to the main theme. He is going to prove that who is Jesus Christ. Verse 15 and 16, 17. If you read verse 18, 19, 20 also, he is talking about Christ. Christ is Lord. Christ is supreme over everything. Here Paul's goal in these verses, to exalt Christ, to help the church to understand the greatness of God, the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Did church knows about supremacy of Christ? Yes or no? Why he is writing again? They know Christ well. They were saints in Christ. They are bearing fruits. The gospel is increasing through them, among them. But he wrote it again. They heard from Epaphras, right? He taught everything about Jesus Christ. But again he is writing the supremacy of Jesus Christ to this church. Why? Because of the false teaching. The false teachers, they are teaching that Jesus is not supreme. Jesus is not sufficient for your salvation, for your sanctification. There is a problem. There was a problem in that church. Maybe there is a problem even nowadays church. False teachers, even Satan, try to attack the deity of Christ, the supremacy of Christ. So this passage is so very important for us to understand who Christ is. Who Christ is. Because without this truth, we cannot survive as a Christians in our spiritual life. Fish, do you know fish? Fish cannot survive outside of the water. Bike or your car cannot run without petrol. If you don't know the truth of Jesus Christ, if you don't know the supremacy of Jesus Christ, then you are going to stop trusting Jesus Christ. You are going to doubt Jesus Christ if you don't know the truth of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul is encouraging, helping them to understand who Jesus Christ is. Your faith will grow more and more, brothers and sisters, by knowing Jesus. By knowing Jesus. So Paul is encouraging them to understand who is Jesus Christ. Church should always recall the greatness of Christ. If you neglect this, Satan tries to attack your faith in him. Just we read chapter 1 verse 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 15 to 17. To know who is Christ, to know His supremacy. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Verse 17. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. if you see these words, especially the image of invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Somebody misinterpreted this. Firstborn of all things. We are going to deal with that word. We are going to learn that meaning of that word. What is the meaning of the firstborn of all creation? Then it says, verse 16, by him all things were created. All things have been created through him, for him. He is before all things. He is before all things. And all things hold together in him. It is the theme of this passage, I can say, to know the supremacy of Christ in creation. To know the supremacy of Christ in creation. It is very clear in this passage. Two qualities of Christ that prove his supremacy. First quality of Christ that proves his supremacy is his divine essence. His divine essence. Look at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. This is present tense. Here Paul is using present tense. It refers to a general fact, timeless fact. This is a state that continues without time limits. This is Christ. The Christ is the image of invisible God, ongoing state. This is timeless fact. Image means here likeness. Jesus Christ has likeness of God. Here Paul is in Christ's image that belongs to God. The characteristics of God, attributes of God, being of God, exactly same to Jesus Christ. All attributes of God dwells in Christ. That is the meaning of these phrases. He is the image of the invisible God. You know, we cannot see God. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17 says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible. We cannot see God. God is invisible. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27 says, by faith he left Egypt, Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen, unseen. God is invisible. Let me ask. But somehow, these verses are contradicting to Old Testament Bible. Some verses. Because some men in the Bible have seen God. Has seen God. For example, Adam and Eve, they have seen God. Abraham, Sarah, even Abraham made meal and he gave to God, right? You remember? Abraham and Sarah have seen God. Moses, face to face, he has seen God. Isaiah has seen God. But here our text is saying God is invisible. Whom did they see? Whom did they see? The pre-incarnate Christ, the image of invisible God. John Gospel chapter 1 verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him. He has explained him. Brothers and sisters, the Old Testament people have seen Jesus Christ. Somebody says, he is not God. If you read the scripture very clearly, that you can understand, even Old Testament people have seen God, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Many times he appeared to the people as the angel of the Lord. As the angel of the Lord. Philip, one time he asked, show us God. We want to see God. What was the response of Jesus? John Gospel chapter 14 verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 part 8 says, and he is the radiance of his glory the exact representation of his nature, exact representation of God's nature. Jesus has exact nature of God the Father. God the Father. He has divine essence. Divine essence. Don't believe if anybody says Jesus is not God. He is God. He has divine essence. There are many verses, brothers and sisters, from the Bible. We can understand the deity of Jesus Christ. Why did Paul bring this truth? That Jesus has divine nature. What is the occasion to bring this truth? The occasion is, the problem is, some false teachers teach Jesus is not supreme and he is not sufficient for our salvation. He is not sufficient for our worship even. Start worshiping angels. Start believing your strength. Start believing all legalistic things. Just forget about Jesus Christ. Just you think about all these mystical things, angels, those things. He wrote in chapter 2, we can see later. So that is the problem. That's why he is writing, telling the truth. Jesus has divine essence of God the Father. He is proving that he is exactly God himself by nature, eternally. Eternally. This is timeless fact. Maybe one of you ask, if he is God eternally, what about the situation when he came on the earth, became man? Did he lose his divine nature? God, Jesus Christ did not lose his divine nature, but he did not use his divine nature voluntarily as a perfect man. Just he added humanity. He is two person now. He has two personality. He is fully God. He is fully man. As a man, he did not lose his divine nature. Maybe some of you, some of other people, false teachers, they may think, as a man, how he can be a God? But he says he is the image of invisible God. Timeless fact. Eternally he is God. Eternally he is God. There are some false teachers who believe Gnosticism. If Jesus is fully man, then he can't be a God. To defend that argument, he wrote this Colossians chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 verse 9. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Even though he is man, he was man, he has the divine nature in bodily form. I want to tell the three major in the church history that reject the deity of Christ. The first major theory in the church history that reject the deity of Christ is Arianism, which is very similar to Jehovah's Witness. They say Christ was a created being but exalted himself, the creator of universe, but he was not God. Christ in relation to Father was a similar essence, not of same essence. See, he has similarity, the similar nature of God, but not the full essence, full nature of God. Same essence he don't have. That is the wrong teaching, Arianism. Another wrong teaching is, wrong theory is Socinianism. They say Christ was the best of man, thus created being, exalted to share in divine nature because of his perfect obedience. Therefore, he is worthy of praise. He is man, but he exalted. So, he can worship him. So, they are not saying. They are saying he is created being. Another theory is Unitarianism. They say Christ was great man who lived in close communion with God. He is to be honored, imitated, but not worshipped. We can follow Jesus Christ, but we cannot worship Jesus Christ because he is not God. There are many theories. False teachers use these arguments to defend Jesus is not God. So here, Paul is defending the truth. Jesus is God. Around 300 AD, Athanasius stood against the wall. He stood in the time of Arius. The Arius is the one who says Jesus is not God. He is not equal with God. He has some similarity, but he is not equal with God. From him, Arianism came. In his time, many people are following him. He is a famous preacher. The whole world is following him. That time, this godly man, Athanasius, stood. He stood, he wrote the deity of Jesus Christ. He studied all verses from the Bible to defend the deity of Christ from Old Testament and New Testament. He proved Jesus is Yahweh. He proved Jesus has all incommunicable attributes. He proved that Jesus does the work of God from Scripture. He receives worship. Jesus never denies if anybody is worshipping him. You remember Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." Did he say anything? He receives. Many people bow down before him and worshipped him. He never says, "Why you are worshipping me?" He accepted the worship. He has all divine attributes. He is omnipresent, right? He knows all things. From this scripture, Jesus Christ is wisdom. He knows everything. He knows everything. He has all attributes of God by himself. He is God himself. Athanasius, he proved in those days, AD 300. Let me tell you, because of him, he stand for the truth. We have gospel. Otherwise, everybody will follow Arius, following him only. But God always keeps his remnant to defend his son's deity. Brothers and sisters, one thing I want to ask you, that please meditate on all verses in the Bible that prove Jesus is God. Memorize some of them in your mind. You will be blessed if you read the deity of Christ. Buy one book, good biblical doctrine book. You read the Christology part. Then you read the deity of Jesus Christ. Whenever attacks comes, whenever your heart says, your heart's doubt about Jesus' deity, these verses will help you to stand for that. If any false teachers, Jehovah's Witness people, anybody come and say Jesus is not God, then you recollect all your verses. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. There are many verses, brothers and sisters, that proves Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He is eternal God. And you must know, if you are not knowing these all facts, these verses, how can you answer to your children? How can you answer to your relatives? How can you answer to your friends if they ask any doubt about the deity of Jesus Christ? You must be able to explain from Scripture, Because every time, whenever church is going through persecution, whenever church is facing two false teachers, then church will doubt the deity of Jesus Christ. That's why he is writing the deity of Jesus Christ, the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Because there was a confusion in the church because of false teaching. Are you doubting Jesus' deity, brothers and sisters? When everything is okay, then you say Jesus is God. But something happened to you in your life, then you say, is Jesus God? Truly? Why these doubts are coming? Because you are not filled with the word of God. You are not meditating those scriptures. That's why Paul is writing the words. He's writing, he is the image of invisible God. Don't trust anybody who says he is not God. He is God. He has the divine essence. God, Jesus cannot change based on your circumstances, brothers and sisters. If he's everything okay, you say he is God. If something is bad, you say he is not God. He never changes. You changes. To know him, to know, to understand the truth, you need to meditate God's word. Let's move. The second quality of Christ that proves his supremacy is his preeminence over creation. His preeminence over creation. Verse 15 to 17. His preeminence over creation. Look at the firstborn of all creation. This is a difficult word to understand. So many people misunderstood this word and they say he is first created one. Firstborn of all creation means God created Jesus first, then everybody, everything he created. That is not that meaning. I will prove that two ways I will prove why Jesus is not first created. Two ways I will prove. First way, by a proper study of the word meaning. By proper study of the word meaning. Look at this word, firstborn. In Greek, which means having special status associated with the firstborn. That is the meaning. Having special status. In ancient Hebrew word, firstborn refers to the son in family who was in preeminent position. Firstborn is not referred to the first son who was born to parents. This firstborn is not only the preeminent one, and he also heir to the double portion of the family inheritance. See, what I am saying, firstborn is not always he is first son of the parents. The firstborn means in Hebrew word, Hebrew idea, the preeminent one, preeminent one. I will give some example. We know David was not the first son, but the last son. You remember eighth son, right? He is eighth son. In Psalm 89 verse 27, it says, I also shall make him my firstborn, highest of the kings of the earth. Manasseh was the first son to Joseph. Ephraim was the second son, right? But if you read Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 9, it says Ephraim is the first son. Ephraim is first son. You remember Israelites? Yes. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, the Lord said, you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. My firstborn. Israel is not first nation, but this nation is preeminent in sight. God has chosen that nation as prominent, as beloved. That is the meaning of firstborn. It is not talking about first created person. Brothers and sisters, even Paul did not use Greek word which means first created. He can use another word to express first created, but he used another word, that is firstborn. Paul knows, he is telling Jesus Christ is the preeminent one of all creation. That is his expression. The based on understanding of that word, we can understand he was not created. Second way I will prove that Jesus is not first created, because by proper understanding of the grammar and context of the text. Understand the grammar of the text and context of the text, you can understand easily. He is not first created one. Look at the firstborn of all creation. Verse 15, the firstborn of all creation. The idea in Greek is the firstborn over creation. That is the idea in Greek. All creation is subordinate to Christ. Or all creation is under dominion of firstborn. That is the idea. He is ruling them. They are under him. Even this is also present tense. It conveys the same idea. Without time limits, they are under Christ's lordship. Here, very simple, brothers and sisters. the all things is under Jesus. That is the grammar of this text, Greek text. He has dominion over all things. All creation is under Jesus Christ. Jesus is over all creation. Brothers and sisters, if he means that Jesus is first created one, then why does he say in verse 16, by him all things were created, through him, for him created? Why he said? So if you understand the context, it is very saying that he is not first created one. It means something else. That is, he is preeminent one in creation. Three reasons why he is the preeminent one in creation. The first reason why he is the preeminent in creation is, he is the creator of all things. He is the creator of all things. Verse 16. Three proofs that he is the creator. First proof is, all were created by him. Look at verse 16. It says, for by him all things were created. If you see word for, Paul is giving cause why he is firstborn of all creation. For he is giving cause, he is giving reasons, because he is created everything. By him all things were created. Not outside of him. In him, God created, God made all things. Without Christ, God did not make anything. In Christ he made. By Christ he made. If there is no Christ, there is no creation. He is the source. He is the source of the creation. Jesus Christ is the source. Second proof, all were created through him. Look at verse 16, end of verse 16. All things have been created through him. He is the agent of the creation. He is the agent. He is the one who created. He is the instrument. He is the agent. Through him, all things have been created. Through him. Not somebody else. God did not create this creation by somebody else. By, through Jesus, he created. If you read Genesis chapter 1, if you read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created through Jesus. But Jesus is the agent who brought God's plan into existence through creating. He designed the world. He designed the world. He is such a powerful God who can make the universe out of nothing. Out of nothing. Third proof, all were created for him. Advantage. For his advantage he created. Look at verse 16. All things have been created through him and for him. He created all things for his glory, brothers and sisters. Not for others' glory. If you praise or not, if you believe or not, God created all things to praise him, to worship him. Even all universe is worshiping Jesus, right? Even he is asking us to worship him, praise him. For his glory he created. Heavens and all in it, earth, all on earth, on it, are declaring the glory of Christ. For that he created. For his advantage.
Guys, you cook something like biryani and you take it and give to others, with you every time?
No.
So you cook for your advantage. You make for your advantage. Except if you call guests, right? That will also serving your people. Serving your people. God created, Jesus created these all things for his glory, for his advantage. Not your sake. Some people think, God created me because I am so important. I am so great. I have my life. I can do anything. I want to do something. So God created me. God wants me. So I am important. So that is not right. God created you for his sake, for his glory. Not your glory, not your sake. That is the idea. For him. Even everything, all creation, he created for his glory, for his sake, for his advantage. He is Lord. He is supreme. That's what here Paul is explaining very clearly. we can see three aspects of his creation includes what he created. If you see, he created three aspects of creation. First one, heavenly and earthly things. Look at verse 16. By him all things were created, both in heaven, heaven's sun, and the
earth.
Read Genesis chapter 1. If you want to understand what the things in heaven, things on the earth. Look at Psalm 148. The psalmist calls things in heaven, things on the earth, to praise Yahweh. He gives different things. In heaven, he calls all angels, all his angels, all his hosts, sun, moon, praise him, all stars of the light, highest heavens, and the waters that are above heaven. These are the things in heaven. All angels, hosts, stars, moon, everything he created, they are worshipping Jesus Christ. They are worshipping God on the earth. See, on the earth, things, earthly things, he calls sea monster, all reeds, fire, hail, snow, clouds, stormy winds, mountains, all hills, fruit trees, all cedars, beasts, and all cattle, creeping things, four kings of the earth, all peoples, princes, all judges of the earth, both young men, virgins, old men, children. He calls all of them to worship Yahweh, because he says you worship the name of Yahweh because he created you. He created you. So you worship him. These are the things God created, many things he created in heaven and the earth. Look at verse next one. Seen and unseen things. The visible, says visible, right? Visible means all that is possible to see with our eyes. Invisible means all that is impossible to see with our eyes. For example, air. Can you see? You cannot see. UV light, ultraviolet light, is a type of electromagnetic radiations that comes from the sun. We cannot see. Some stars we cannot see. Galaxies in the sky we cannot see. We cannot see coronavirus. We cannot see things. Everything, whatever you are unable to see, things he created. Even all kind of viruses, he only created. Do you accept that? God created, seeable, visible, invisible. Everything he created. Brothers and sisters, if you understand, you must worship him as a creator. In Psalm 108, he calls, let them praise the name of Yahweh, for he commanded they were created. If they are worshipping, why don't you worship your God? We are so weak in worship, brothers and sisters. Sometimes even our worship is boring, right? Because we are always self-centered. We always worship Jesus when God is giving something for us. But worship God, worship Jesus as a creator. As a creator. Look at, he created everything, full universe. For that reason also, you need to worship. The second thing, we must be thankful for his all provisions for us to eat, to see the beauty of the creation. The many places, in Goa, other places, they are getting more money because people are coming and seeing the nature of God, right? God created wonderful beauty nature. God gave to see, to enjoy and see and praise him, glorify him. Then not only that, heavenly things, earthly things, and seen, unseen things, and supernatural beings. He created supernatural beings. Look at verse 16. Whether thrones are domains, rulers, or authorities, this refers to angelic beings.
whether they are fallen or holy, they all were created by God. Jesus, by Him, through Him, for Him. But Paul emphasized fallen angels here. Fallen angels. Even fallen angels were created by Jesus Christ. He created all angels, then they fall. But they are under Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. When He had disarmed the rulers, authorities, He made public display of them. Romans 8:38 says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. Jesus Christ, He is the Lord over all these demons, all these things. He is the Lord. He created. You remember Mark chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. He says, the demons implored Him and saying, send us into the swine, so that we may enter them. That means Jesus gave them permission. Jesus asked His name. He said, Legion, for we are many. The many demons are imploring, asking, begging Jesus Christ to enter the swine. Who is the Lord over demons? Who is the Lord over everything?
Jesus
Christ. The idea is whether good or bad, all angels needs to be submit this Lord Jesus. Because He has created the false aim in this writing, these things, so that Colossians may know, have a proper understanding of Christ, who is over all spiritual beings. All spiritual beings. Because they are trying to worshiping angels. There is nothing that Jesus did not create, brothers and sisters. John Gospel chapter 1 verse 3 says, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. He created everything, everything. He is supreme, He is supreme. Brothers and sisters, if Christ is preeminent over us because He created us, we are under dominion of Jesus Christ. Are you keeping your life under Jesus Christ? That is the thing we must understand. If you understand He is Lord over all creation, He is Lord over us, even us, are you living a life under Jesus Christ? Are you pleasing this Lord? Are you obeying this Lord if He asks to do something else? What are the areas that nowadays Christians want to rule their lives? This is my life. I can live. I can use my life. What? How can I want? This is my thing. This is my money. This is my time. This is my strength. This is everything is mine. But here you are not mine. You are not yourself. You are too Lord. He is above you. The second reason why He is preeminent in creation is He is the eternal one. He is the eternal one. Look at verse 17. Says, He is before all things. He is before all things. Here Paul is saying that Christ existed before all things. Still He exists. It is showing that He is eternal. Eternal. His being is before all things of the world. In this context, Christ existed before all created beings. This is the evidence of His pre-existence. He is eternal God. Micah chapter 2 verse 2, it says, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me, to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Days of eternity. He is eternal God. You think Jesus born, He is small baby. No, this baby is eternal. He is eternal. John Gospel 8 verse 58 says, Jesus said to them, truly, truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham, I am. He is eternal God. He is eternal God. Third reason why He is preeminent in creation is He is the sustainer of all creation. He is the sustainer of all creation. Look at verse 17, part B. in him all things hold together. He said, and Paul added additional fact that Jesus gives the reason why Jesus is the preeminent over creation, that is holding together. You see, the meaning of the word hold together is to come to be in a condition of coherence, to put together, unite parts into whole. Jesus Christ, he is united all things, hold together, put together. It has the idea of continuing, enduring, existing. He is focusing on present tense. It is present tense. That means from the beginning onwards, all are held together. Where? Where? In Christ. In Christ. Not outside of Christ. Christ is the one who unites all parts of the universe into one whole. All things consist, have their existence in him. They exist continually without any misplacement because of Christ. This is showing Christ's sustaining power. Sustaining power. Christ is the one who sustains all things by his power. By his power. Why I can say by his power? Because he alone is holding them together in proper way. He alone is sustaining all things. Look at scripture. It says, in him all things hold together. That means he alone is sustaining all things. If one person is doing multitask, what you will say? One person is throwing three balls up and down, then you say, how he is sustaining? He is very skillful. He is managing three things. Look at Jesus Christ. He is sustaining the full universe.
Amen.
He alone sustaining. Everything is in his hand.
Amen.
That is the idea here. He is sustaining everything. He operates the weather. Different seasons. Rainy seasons, winter, summer, he alone operates. He operates sunset, sun rises. He operates day and night. Do you believe that? Every day he operates those things. He operates running all systems of earth, sun, moon. They're rounding, right? He alone operating those things. He operates all galaxies. They're staying together. No one star is dashing another star. Have you seen any time? But we heard many times in newspaper, bus accident, train accident. But we are seeing stars, moons, everything. They are doing their job without any interactions, without any accidents, unless he allows. Because he is sustaining in his power, by his power. He tells to the waves of seas to stop at the boundaries. He made boundaries. Sea won't come. If he allows boundaries, then sea will come. No one will stay in Goa. No churches here. No wall here. Sometimes he allows, then they come forward. Have you seen the power of, sustaining power of Jesus Christ? It is very miracle, right? Deep sea is there, but that is not coming. Exactly, that is miracle. Anybody says there is no God, look at the sea. And believe God.
Amen.
There is a God. You are a fool if you are not believing God. You are a fool if you are not believing God. After seeing all creation, sun and moon, Jesus Christ one is sustaining all things. And giving power, giving source. Why you are not believing Jesus Christ? Why you doubt about Jesus Christ? He is the one who holds together everything. All animals, birds, plants, trees and forests, by providing for them their needs. You see, the all wild beasts, they are not coming from forests, killing people. Who is sustaining? Who is giving commands for them? Sometimes God allows, one animal will come, one elephant will come, they destroy all banana trees, one time. If God is not sustaining, if God is not keeping border, what happens? Everything is misused, right?
Mm.
Everything is collapsed. Jesus Christ is sustaining.
Amen.
Why you are coming to church safely by God, by bike? He is sustaining. Somebody is dying because he is allowing. Jesus Christ, He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Amen.
He is supreme over all creation. He is sustaining us, brothers and sisters. Know this fact that He is sufficient. If you understand, if He is sustaining full universe, He can't sustain your life, your spiritual life, your soul. Do you think He is small? He is very strong, powerful God. He is able to give strength. He is able to give ability to sustain your life. Don't doubt God. Nothing impossible for Him. The main takeaway from this scripture is to know supremacy of Christ. This should lead us to find all sufficiency in Christ. Paul is telling, hello Colossians, listen, you are doubting Jesus Christ. You are following after these false teachers. Look at, He is holds together, He is creator, He is eternal one. He is sustaining all creations. Don't doubt Him, follow Him, trust in Him. You can find sufficiency in his life. Brothers and sisters, to know Jesus is the greatest thing on the earth. The treasures of the world, the pleasures of the earth never match to it. 10,000 million dollars or rupees, 10,000 properties, 12K course building cannot match this truth, knowing Jesus Christ. Most of the people think, if we have these all things, we are luxurious people, we are great people. No, great people, privileged people are those who know this Savior.
Amen.
We know Him. Do you believe Him? Are you following Him? Those all things cannot save you. Those give temporary pleasure, brothers and sisters. But Jesus will give the joy for you. If you know Him, if you understand Him, His power. We sing one of the great songs in our church. Knowing You. Knowing You. Jesus. There is no greater thing. You are all my. You are the best. You are my joy, my righteousness. And I love You, Lord. All I once held dear, built my life upon. All things world reverse and wash to wash. All I once thought again, I have counted loss. Spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing You. Do you know this Savior? Do you know this great God? May God motivate us to find joy in knowing His Son. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this time. Lord, help us to know Your Son more and more, to understand His divine nature. At the same time, Lord, to understand His supremacy over creation. Thank You, Lord, for helping us to know Your Word. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your guidance to understand the Creator who created us. Lord, bless this church. Lord, by Your power, give strength to this church, every one of us, to follow You, to trust in You. In Jesus' name I pray.